Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's a couple of injury updates of significance from around the NFL. And the injury news for the Chargers gets worse. Safety Adrian Phillips, who was injured trying to tackle Lions running back Kerryon Johnson yesterday, suffered a broken arm. He's going to be out for several weeks, but they say it may not be season-ending. But he had been filling in for their star safety, Derwin James. And so another tough injury for the Chargers, and they lose at the Lions. Also, a decision, and that was Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter tweets, a decision is expected today on whether Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger will need elbow surgery, per league sources. Roethlisberger wants to avoid it at all costs, but ultimately, doctors will decide whether that's possible. So we'll find out today if Ben Roethlisberger has to have elbow surgery. And then Drew Brees visited a specialist following the team's loss to the Rams yesterday, is believed to have a ligament issue on his throwing thumb, per Tom Pelissero from NFL Network. The team will know the full extent today, but he's looking at missing some game time. So Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger hurt yesterday, and the Chargers lose another safety. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Boy, that's a reminder how quick fortunes can change for an NFL team when you hear about two of the biggest names, the biggest stars in the NFL, Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, both facing maybe missing some extended time, and look, that's the nature of the beast. But boy, that would change things in the NFL moving forward, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And right now it looks like we can skip to that Chiefs Patriots AFC Championship game in January. You know, the rematch, but. Hey, who knows what's going to happen between now and then, you know? It's a long season, and there's been a million times that the way things looked in September weren't the way they looked in January, where they were in January. So it's just a long season. You got to be ready for anything.
Adam, look, we've seen a lot of things from Patrick Mahomes that we've never seen before in Kansas City and watching the Chiefs. But yesterday, when he closed the first half with his last five attempts to close the half, a 42-yard touchdown to Mecole Hardman, 32-yard completion to Damian Williams, 43 yards to DeMarcus Robinson, 27-yard touchdown to Travis Kelce, 39-yard touchdown to DeMarcus Robinson. I've never seen anything like that before. I couldn't believe it. I'm still not sure I do believe it. But you see it right there in print. I've never seen anything like that before, Adam Teicher. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. I mean, it was amazing to watch. And you know, the thing to know about that is it's a rare, not only does it happen rarely, but it's rare to find a team that can do that kind of thing, you know, and when you do find a team that can do that kind of thing, I mean, that's a championship caliber team. When you can blitz a team the way the Chiefs did the Raiders in the second quarter yesterday, I mean, that's big time stuff. You know, they were down 10-0. The Raider fans were getting crazy. You know, things started looking really good for the Chiefs, and the way they answered was unbelievable. I mean, it was really just awesome to watch. And the thing about it is, for the most part in the locker room, guys were like, "Hey, this is just what we do. You know, this is no big deal for us." You know, and they were more concerned. You know, Pat Mahomes was more concerned about the three quarters in which they didn't score. And I was talking to some of the offensive linemen, and they were upset about how they couldn't run the ball, and they got a lot of stuff to clean up there. So it's almost becoming a routine for these guys. But what we saw yesterday was even for them an amazing thing to see.
Well, we know the offense is championship caliber, Adam. They proved that last year, but obviously the defense was not This defense looked shaky in the first quarter, but they didn't give up another point the rest of the game. How much of a step forward, if any, was this for the defense in your mind?
Yeah, you got to like what you saw yesterday. And not the greatest opponent, but still looked like it was going to be a long day after those first two Oakland drives, and then nothing the rest of the way. And got a little pressure on the quarterback as the game went on, and came up with a couple big turnovers, the one in the end zone being the really big one. And, they sort of controlled the game in the second half. When the offense wasn't getting much done, the Chiefs really controlled that game with their defense. And, if they can do that from time to time, how good are the Chiefs going to be, we've talked before, they don't have to be dominant. They don't have to be a shutdown defense. But they can deliver what they did yesterday in the bigger games or when the offense is struggling a little bit. I mean, if you're going to tell me that's going to happen, I'll tell you the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl right now. I mean, if that's what we're going to see from this defense going forward, maybe not on a consistent basis, but maybe on an as-needed basis, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Nobody's good enough to beat them.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. Adam, I saw plenty of people tweeting, wow, why can't the Chiefs run the football? I'm not even sure that it matters if the Chiefs can run the football or not. But Damian Williams left with a right knee contusion, and LeSean McCoy left late with an ankle injury. Any updates? Any information about those two injuries to the Chiefs' top two running backs?
Yeah, it doesn't look like either one's going to be a long-term thing, but put them together, and the Chiefs have a big game on Sunday. It's probably the best opponent they've seen this year so far, and you're going to need one of those guys at least. You'd like to have them around, I do think it matters that they can't run the ball. I think that's been was part of the problem in the other three quarters, is that they weren't able to get anything done. Now the Raiders were seemed committed to taking that away from them, and the Chiefs certainly made them pay. But the Chiefs are going to need a running game more than what they had yesterday. It's not going to work. We saw in the other three quarters, it doesn't move smoothly when you don't have that part of the game available to you.
Well, and boy, the guy that I was so excited about in preseason that I foolishly even drafted on my fantasy team, Darwin Thompson, he's gotten one touch in each of the first two games. He has not really been a part of the offense to this point. Might he need to be called on this weekend? And if so, is he ready? Like, does Andy Reid trust him yet as a running back in this offense?
Yeah, I thought as camp was going on what they did, but then you saw yesterday that when they went to an extra bat, when they wanted to close out the game, they kind of went to Darrell Williams. So, it's a little bit hard to explain what's going on with him. You understand it a little bit when they pick up LeSean McCoy that's the guy who's going to be most impacted is Darwin Thompson. Not necessarily Damian Williams, but Thompson's playing time has been cut back drastically. But then, I'm even surprised how little work he's gotten the first two games. So, the Chiefs are going to have no choice, though. If they don't have either McCoy or Williams on Sunday against Baltimore, they're almost going to have no choice.
DeMarcus Robinson was the receiving star of the game. 6 catches for 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mecole Hardman had a nice impact, 4 for 61 and a touchdown. But for DeMarcus Robinson, look, it's a contract year. He's been in this offense for a while. It was a good bet that he was going to step up and get some more production with Tyreek Hill out. But, boy, I don't know if anyone saw that coming. But for a guy that's worked hard in this offense, that was a big day for him, and it just shows – It's Mahomes. I mean, it was Sammy Watkins last week. It's Tyreek Hill last year. It was DeMarcus Robinson. Hell, it might be Mecole Hardman that's coming up on Sunday. Pick your poison. And that was a big statement from the Chiefs. Like, hey, no Tyreek Hill. We can still send receivers running by you, and Mahomes is going to hit them.
Yeah, and we might be talking about Hardman like we're talking about Robinson today if that that long 70-yard touchdown pass hadn't been called back because of the penalty. So, it is Pat Mahomes. You know, even Robinson said after the game, he said something like, Pat playing with Pat makes everybody a potential star, or something. That he, those weren't the exact words, but that's what he said, and he's right. I mean, the Chiefs just keep plugging guys in, and they keep you know, delivering big plays for them. And you know, Robinson's a guy you have to feel pretty good for, because he's done all, you know, he's been kind of patiently waiting his turn, and you know, really there hadn't been a whole lot coming his way, but he's done a lot of the dirty work. You remember he threw the big block on the Sammy Watkins touchdown to start the season last week in Jacksonville. And, you know, now he got to be featured. You know, the Raiders were really doubling up on Watkins and didn't want him to beat them. And, you know, they were trying to take Kelce out of the game. That didn't succeed as well. But Robinson was single covered, and Raiders were having trouble getting that done. I mean, it was a big day for Robinson. And, you know, it's kind of one of those pick your poison things that we've been talking about. You know, opponents have to, you know, they can't eliminate everything. And if they want to take away the run and they want to take away Sammy Watkins, then, you know, Hardman and Robinson and Kelce are going to have big days.
We're visiting with Adam Teicher. Adam, you and I were out at Arrowhead on Friday when we got the news that Eric Fisher had suffered a groin injury and had been taken out of practice. You were all over it yesterday on the field before the game as he tried to work to get himself into the game. He did try to give it a go, but couldn't do so. I'm curious what you thought in terms of how it affected the team on the field, having him out, and do we have any indication as to how serious this groin injury might be for Fisher?
Yeah, it wasn't good news. I mean, you're right. He was out there working with the trainers before the game. You know, doing some pass sets, and then also working on some run stuff. And it looked pretty good. I thought maybe he was going to, you know, be able to withstand the day, but he was only in there, what, two or three plays and had to come out. So don't know how serious this is. You know, maybe with a week to let this thing calm down instead of a couple days from the original injury. He got hurt Friday and then tried to play yesterday. Maybe with a week, my sense is this will be he'll be good enough to go on Sunday. But, you know, Cam Irving's a veteran guy and had to play yesterday. And, you know, he's a backup for a reason. He's not, you know, he's not what you'd probably want in there at left tackle. But, you know, hey, I thought the protection yesterday was, for the most part, better than it was a week ago. Against Jacksonville, so you know, the Chiefs did a pretty good job as a whole in that respect yesterday.
What was the atmosphere like out in Oakland? That'll be the last time the Chiefs play in Oakland against the Raiders. How would you describe the atmosphere out there yesterday?
Yeah, wasn't a ton of Chiefs fans out there. Certainly not as many as in Jacksonville the week before, but for Oakland, there was quite a few Chiefs fans. I mean, that might have been the biggest gathering of Chiefs fans at a Raiders game out here that I can remember. So, you know, there was that going for them. But, you know, the fans were into it. I mean, you know, the Raiders won on opening day in a fairly convincing fashion. And I think the fans were starting to buy into this team. And then they got up 10-0, and the place got loud. I mean, it was really it was going there for a little while. And you know, that was a big time response by the Chiefs in the second quarter. I mean, things looked like they were going south and in a hurry there, and the way they, you know, jumped all over them in the second quarter was impressive for a lot of reasons. Not just what they did, but the environment in which they did it. That's why I say that's championship level stuff right there.
So, Adam, I don't know if you saw this because it was taking place while you might have been down on the field, you know, watching Eric Fisher go through warmups. But in the Jacksonville Jaguars game, in which, by the way, they lost as Doug Marrone decided to go for two at the end of the game and run the ball up the middle with Leonard Fournette, and it didn't work, and they lost. But earlier in that game, Jalen Ramsey got into a shouting match with Doug Marrone. They got physical with one another, had to be separated. Doug Marrone basically wouldn't talk about it after the game, and Jalen Ramsey, I guess, left the locker room and didn't say a word. Look, anytime any corner has any issue, I'm going to ask you this probably this year. Should the Chiefs be on the horn inquiring about Jalen Ramsey and whether or not he's available at this time?
I'm not big on those kind of guys. I think the risk a lot of times outweighs the reward. And, you know, he's a great player, but, man, the problems that he brings, and you can't have that stuff going on in your sideline. It's hard to win that way. It just is. And so I'm not big on that kind of stuff. And you know, they've had problems on that team with not just him, but as we remember from last week, you know, Miles Jack was out of control. And so, you know, maybe in a different environment, Ramsey can be better able to control himself. But, you know, this smells a little bit like Marcus Peters all over to me in that regard. So I'm just not big on that stuff. I think it's hard to get to a championship with those kinds of guys. So I would be inclined to pass unless they were maybe just giving him away, which, hey, at this point, maybe they're interested in doing that.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, one of the best games of the year at Arrowhead last year was the Chiefs' dramatic win over the Ravens. That will be the home opener coming up on Sunday. Let's take an early look at that game. Boy, and that, you want to talk about a quarterback matchup that the NFL needs to highlight, shoot off fireworks, smoke signals, whatever you can do to attract people to watch this game. I mean, you could be talking about the future of the AFC for years to come. We already saw the first edition was one hell of a game. Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson, Chiefs and Ravens. Boy, that should be fun on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't think the league needs to shoot off fireworks or call any attention to this. If this game doesn't speak for itself, then people aren't paying attention here. And now, this is going to be a different challenge for the Chiefs defensively. They've, for the most part, the last 2 weeks, played against veteran quarterbacks who are more pocket-type guys. Now they knock Foles out, but they prepared at least for that kind of guy. Now, Jackson brings a whole different kind of challenge. So, hey, the Chiefs, we talked about it earlier, were better defensively. I thought there was some significant improvement, but how does that stand up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? So, this is going to be a fun game to watch. I mean, the Mahomes era Chiefs are always fun to watch, but I'm particularly interested in seeing how this game turns out.
Lamar Jackson ran the ball 14 times against the Chiefs last year. I think he ran the ball 16 times yesterday. If you're the Chiefs, are you more concerned about the big playability he has with his arm that he showed against the Dolphins in Week 1, or do you need to make sure that you really focus on his ability to run the football?
Yeah, I mean, he'll run it all day on him if they don't stop that part of the game. I mean, But the challenge is then, how are you going to let him beat you the other way? So, yeah, this that's why it presents a huge problem for them. I'm really eager to see how they do defense this. I mean, it might be a little bit of a pick-your-poison kind of situation where they, they have to mix it up and try to defend him that way.
Adam, before we let you go, is it appropriate to ask you about the Arizona State-Michigan State game, or you just want to go slide right past that one?
Did they play Saturday? I hadn't heard.
Right. Well, hey, the Pac-12 officials admitted that they made a mistake, and so does that make you feel any better that they admitted they blew the call on the field goal attempt?
Hey, when Michigan State scores 7 points, you don't deserve in a college game. And this is 2019. If you can't do better than that, you shouldn't be relying on the charity of others at the end of a game. I mean, you got to score more. You got to get your offense into 2019 and score more than a touchdown. So that's what I don't care about what happened at the end of the game. By then, it was they should have taken care of business a long time before that.
It's got to be an interesting transition for you to watch Michigan State's offense on Saturday and then watch the Chiefs' offense on Sunday.
It is a little bit of a contrast, for sure.
You cover the full spectrum of football. And so, Adam, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it. Have a safe trip back from Oakland.
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you later.
That's Adam Teicher from ESPN. And even though we are sad for Adam, congratulations to Herm Edwards.
That's right.
For getting a big road win against a top 20 team. was good. That was, even though that was points were at a premium in that game, that was a very entertaining finish. What a fun weekend in college football. Again, of course, we talked about Kansas winning and K-State winning and Mizzou winning, but man, I felt bad for Iowa State against Iowa. And if you hung in there because of the two lengthy weather delays that that fans had to endure, but you got all the drama that you could possibly want. Unfortunately for Iowa State fans, Iowa gets the 1-point victory, but boy, that was a fun game to watch. The Arizona State Michigan State game, even though it was brutal to watch most of the game, that ending was very entertaining. And so that was a hell of a weekend in college football, and of course in the NFL. And in case you're wondering, you talked about Lamar Jackson. He has 16 rushes, 120 yards with those 16 carries.
Unbelievable.
So I think that's, you got to mention that. But and by the way, 24 of 37 for 272 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, along with the 120 yards rushing. And so now, just to remind people, the kid who can't throw well enough to be an NFL quarterback has started the season 41 of 57. That's 72% completion percentage, 596 yards, and 7 touchdown passes with no picks. I think he's doing all right. And that's what the Chiefs are facing on Sunday. The Ravens are, I mean, and look, they struggled a little bit more than I thought they would with Arizona. But hey, again, give Kyler Murray some credit. He put up some nice numbers against the Ravens defense. They didn't win the game. But they, I mean, I remember there was at least one, I can't remember, was it on NFL Network when they had a discussion before the season? Who's the worst team in the NFL? Is it the Dolphins or is it the Cardinals? Like, there's no debate there, right? And so the Cardinals have actually been all right. They came back and ended up tying the Lions in week one. The Lions took care of business and beat the Chargers yesterday. And so the Lions aren't terrible. And then the Arizona hung in with the Ravens. But, man, Lamar Jackson's been terrific. What a marquee matchup at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Got to be the game of the week, right? I mean, I haven't even looked at that schedule yet, but where is their better game?
Why don't you have to look at the schedule first?
Well, right? You like Titans-Jags on Thursday?
Nope.
No. Maybe see if which Jags player is going to get in a fight on the sideline with one of his coaches.
Well, actually, that is kind of entertaining.
Yeah, that is definitely entertaining.
You know.
Bengals, Bills, Dolphins, Cowboys.
No.
Dolphins are a 21-point dog at the Cowboys. Broncos, Packers, Falcons, Colts, Raiders, Vikings.
Saints, Seahawks is close, but still, that's not... I mean, that's the only thing that...
That's Teddy Bridgewater.
And Drew Brees.
No. That's what I was about to say.
Right.
No,
so,
Drew Brees. No.
Good day to you, sir.
Yeah, that is the game of the week by far. 2-0. That's the only matchup of two 2-0 teams. So let's go.
Well, there's only four of them, right?
Is that all that's left?
I think.
Man, the NFL, baby.
Mm.
Right? Chiefs, Ravens, Patriots,
Bills.
That's it, right?
Cowboys,
Packers,
Rams, 49ers, Seahawks.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm just thinking
slightly more than
the AFC.
That's fine. Hey, you were
four
in
the AFC.
Right.
You were on the right track.
That's all
right.
I worry about.
That's
you
right.
Worry
we don't about care that. About that NFC. Doesn't matter till the Super Bowl, does it?
And so this weekend, you've got, I mean, again, you talk about big games to look forward to. All of a sudden, you know, Kansas playing West Virginia doesn't seem so crazy that you could hope that Kansas could win back-to-back games. K-State gets the week off before, and they get a bye week to prepare for their conference opener on the road against Oklahoma State. But K-State gets a break, and they deserve it after going to Mississippi State and getting a win. Mizzou, I hate to put too much into this game, but it's a gigantic game. I don't want to use hyperbole, but it is a, as Gary Pinkle say, a mammoth game. Because they've lost three in a row to South Carolina. And so, let's go. At Mizzou against South Carolina. and then Chiefs Ravens. I mean, just huge games for different reasons, right? Like, how big would it be if Les Miles followed up the win at BC with winning the conference opener? How
mammoth.
It would be enormous. Because, you know, you can go win a game.
It would be huge, senor.
Huge, senor.
Huge?
So huge.
I mean, like, hey, enjoy this. I mean, think of it, because that's on the table. Like, you know, if like Oklahoma was coming to town, you can't talk about that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, right? But this is...
No.
There it is. You
set and setting.
After what they did on Friday, why can't they beat West Virginia?
They can.
Right.
Now, West Virginia was steamrolled by Mizzou. I mean that was, 31-0 at halftime. So they were steamrolled. But for the people that, West Virginia just sucks. They can't beat nobody. They look pretty good this weekend. They put it on North Carolina State, 44-27. Who saw that coming? After what Mizzou did, right?
Right.
They beat the hell out of the Wolfpack out of NC State. And so I don't know. The Wyoming thing still pisses me off, but Mizzou's really good. And they put it on West Virginia. That gives that win looks even better after what West Virginia did in North Carolina State. But it also shows that West Virginia, they've got some issues. That's a first-year head coach. They're not unbeatable.
Right. Oh, that's absolutely right. I mean, look. I was thinking about this. I'm just going to enjoy the victory. As a KU fan, you just enjoy the victory against Boston College. You don't ask too many questions, although I take full credit for it.
Ask some questions.
You know, saving those Black Cats on Friday the 13th.
Ask questions.
But I was thinking back to when Turner Gill took over at KU.
Why?
Well.
Why?
Because I was trying to think of a when was the last big non-con win for KU?
Okay. Why?
So I was trying to think, like, when was the last like big non-con win, like against a Power 5 team that people thought was good?
Why?
And so, follow me on this.
Right. I'm trying.
Turner Gill's first year at KU. This is Les Miles' first year at Kansas, mm-hmm. right? He opened up with a home loss, 6-3, to North Dakota State.
I was there.
Okay, it was a devastating loss, and everybody's like, wow, they just fired me and Gino for this guy. And then he turned around the next week, and KU beat number 15 Georgia Tech. And everybody thought, oh, wow,
yeah.
Turner Gill, you know, turning it in the right direction. But then they turn around, and they got smoked at Mississippi State the very next game. So it's like, okay, it's one game. It's great. Now, can you build off of it a little bit? Can you keep going? You know,
hole that's been dug is much deeper.
Oh.
Than what Turner Gill faced. He still had, there was competence.
Of course.
In recent memory. This win.
No, this is a way bigger win.
I couldn't believe it.
They were 21-point underdogs.
Okay, so this is a legitimate question. How many people do you think...
And they didn't just win. They crushed Boston College.
How many people do you think are going to go to that game now on Saturday that had zero plans to go on Saturday, and now they're going to go not only because of the way KU won, but the opportunity to win again?
Oh, I think a lot. I think a lot of people. I mean,
I mean, I just wonder what kind of bump they'll get. Because, I mean,
it's got to be a huge bump.
If you're going to go, then this would be the time after that win and playing a reasonable conference opponent like West Virginia.
I will go ahead and tell our listeners, too, by the way, that we are scheduled to have Carter Stanley on the show this week. And also one of my favorites from one of those great KU Mark Mangino teams, Brandon McAnderson, is going to come on the show to talk about all this with us too. So I want to make sure, we want to make sure we give KU the coverage they deserve after a win like that. Because like you said, I mean, again, that was the biggest win in terms of margin of victory by a 20-point underdog in a non-con Power 5 road game ever.
Why can't you use your connections, pull strings, and get some, like, I'm talking about like real good seats for your producer?
Well, I could. If he wants to go, I think I could do that.
I think he wants to. But he doesn't like to ask. He likes someone to offer because...
No, he doesn't like to ask.
Okay. Right.
Can you get me some good tickets, front row tickets?
I don't know about... I don't know if front row is the best seat in the house.
But just get him something good.
Maybe I'll get you up in a suite.
I want him to have access to whatever he wants.
They don't let me in suites. Kidding me?
We'll take care of you, man. I wish I could go to the game. You know, I mean, I
why won't you go?
Well, I have to work that day, but I got a Sporting Kansas City game. But
last night, I don't know.
The who?
They gave up a touchdown.
They did. They got a safety themselves.
They lost 7-2 if people missed that late last night.
Yeah, late.
Yeah, that was probably, usually you're angry about that. That was probably a good time for a 9:30 start for that one. So most people just kind of missed that one.
Yeah, it was not good for me. It was hard for me to fall asleep after that one because that was a rough one.
Pounders doesn't go to sleep early on Sunday.
No, I get that's way that's a night, late.
That's a night of reflection for you, isn't it?
No, let Ibrahimovic kick me in the balls.
That's a night of
three times.
That's a night of succession for me.
Three times.
Mighty
He's got
Gemstones.
A strong leg too, so that's a hard kick in the balls. Cool. But I wish I could go to that game because I've had that one circled, the West Virginia game.
I mean, your question, Stephen, is I looked at my calendar when you said that. It raised an eyebrow.
I'm thinking about it. I'm making connections for you right now.
There might be at least 200 more KU fans that want to go.
I know a guy, Jake. I know a guy that can get you in the building.
I want it. Mizzou in South Carolina is very, very big. Because South Carolina's won 3 in a row in that series, and I'm tired of it. And I don't, boy, it's some of the worst, just like most aggravating, irritating losses have happened to South Carolina. And so that's huge for Missouri. I mean, those are two, as again, Gary Pinkel said, mammoth games.
Absolutely.
Howard Richards is going to stop by the studio tomorrow, the color commentator who was once in the CIA. And so he's going to interview us, I think. I don't want him to know what to do.
I don't know about that. I might have to.
Also play I'm taking tomorrow off.
Also play with the Cowboys, and so maybe Stan Weber will run in here.
Does he have jurisdiction in Wisconsin?
Hey, look, man. I don't know. I'm just going to ask. Let's talk about the CIA stuff.
I might be taking off tomorrow.
Right.
At least the 8 o'clock hour.
Jake was very nervous about this. And we'll talk. We're going to talk to Barry Odom today after the show, and we'll replay that for you tomorrow. But, I mean, and that's just Saturday, and then Sunday, Chiefs and Ravens. Whoa, boy, this is going to be fun.
You guys going out there?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know yet.
I don't either.
Sure I am.
I have not been offered any tickets yet, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
What, do you just got to wait for someone to offer you tickets? You can't just...
Yes. That was me fishing for tickets right there on the air.
That's not what I'm at. That was... Well, you're welcome.
That's a unique approach there.
I'm the opposite of Jake. Jake doesn't ask, I ask. Yep, anybody wants to take me to the Chiefs game on Sunday, I'm open for business.
How about a little thing they call credential, a media pass?
I have my season credential, but I...
Sitting up in that booth, it's all quiet, and everybody's got to sit there quietly and watch the game. I don't want to do that. I want to watch the game and enjoy it. I want to be free to scream at the top of my lungs when Patrick Mahomes does something incredible.
Why don't you call tickets for less?
Mm-hmm. Well, might do that.
I mean, he wants someone to get on their hands and knees and come crawl.
I know that's not going to happen for me. I know that happens to Nate all the time.
It does it, so I'll probably watch it at home
that's
with my
shameless.
Son. That's okay.
I don't know who's offered me a ticket yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Either going to call tickets for less or I'm going to watch it at my home. But every year, it's like the home opener, you have FOMO. I mean, it's just, you do.
Dude, but this game's great, too.
I know.
I was at the Ravens game last year.
So was I.
Oh, man. And that's the one where the guy sitting next to me, he and his wife left right in the fourth quarter. I said, you can't leave. Mahomes is here. Mm-hmm. He probably left because he was tired of me, you know, telling him long stories
seats.
The whole
He's
game.
He's like, I'm not leaving, you idiot. I'm just getting the F away from you. He wasn't leaving.
Here, honey, we're going to pretend we're angry with the offense, and we're just going to storm out.
Great,
okay?
That was one of the, man, that was, what a great moment.
That was
a great moment last year.
It was insane.
That 4th and 9 was just unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Sunday, Arrowhead. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.